thank you all who are on the call tonight on the telephone. It's great to have you with us. If you have any questions during the course of this presentation this evening, please send a text to 801-541-9181, and we will be able to address those questions on the phone tonight. Also, if you are online and you have your account with Ustream, I have right in front of me the chat room, so we'll be able to chat with you. I'm just opening it up so I can see who's in the chat room with us. It's great to have this available as well so that we can have communications while we're having these conversations. These are really your coaching sessions. I'm showing up to share with you principles, and it's my mission to drive them as deep into your life as possible. We're all set. Yeah, everything's fine. We were just having an interesting experience. We're Cub Scout leaders, and we have our Weeblos meeting on Tuesday night, and I went straight from that into my call with Kevin Hall, and I was doing a quick shirt change. Maybe I should have just stayed in my scout uniform, so I was a minute late getting started this evening, so thank you. I want to share with all of you a special opportunity. Kevin and I have been doing a coaching series that we started last month. We just did our sixth session. There are two more coming here in December. As part of that coaching, it's our special kind of a holiday gift to our clients. We gave 10 copies of Kevin's book, signed by Kevin, 3 copies of my book, new book that's coming out. It'll be coming off the printing presses if everything stays on schedule in January. The editor and I are talking tomorrow to see how close we are to finishing up that piece of it so it could be laid out and go to print. And several other options that came with that. This particular opportunity starts on the 10th of January. We've decided to do it one more time. We've had so much time, fun, working on this together during the course of the week, really relying on what's coming to our hearts, what we think might be something that will serve the people. And so we have decided to do this once more. So if you missed out last time and you want to participate this time, go to www.augmandinogroup.com/Kevin, augmandinogroup.com/Kevin, and you can register. It shares there that you'll get 10 copies of Kevin's book and 10 copies of my book. That's $400 worth of books for the $299 registration, and you get the 8 weeks of coaching with Kevin and me. I think that's quite a bargain. Many of you have coached with us privately and in groups. There won't be interaction in that kind of a call because we've had quite a large group that has participated, and we anticipate that again. We're going to cut that off at about 100 people. We think that's probably about the maximum. So if you'd like to participate, or you think that might be a gift you'd like to give someone for a holiday present, Christmas present, I think that would be a great idea. They come to Christmas, and they're going to get the books, and they'll be able to spend 8 weeks kicking off 2012 with Kevin Hall and myself. Kevin is just an amazing human being and coach, dear friend, and it's just a privilege to spend time with him every Tuesday night in preparation for and delivery of that coaching program. So again, if you'd like to participate, that's starting January 10th at 6 p.m. Mountain, 1 hour before this call. You might want to come just to get the books, which is an exciting thing by itself. So excited that this book is finally done. Can you believe it? I've been writing from 4 in the morning to 8 o'clock for almost 3 of those years, and then weekends and mornings and nights and whenever I can to get this finished and have something that I believe would really speak to people. I'm going to ask Ramona if she would check on that line because someone is trying to get through to us and there may be a challenge here, and we want to make sure there isn't a problem. So she'll be right back with us. Well, tonight, as with every Tuesday night, we meet to have this celebration of life, an opportunity to dive deep into the principles of intentional creation. Intentional creation means that we do this on purpose. It is our intention to engage in life. It is our intention to embrace these principles. It is our intention to create value and connect with people and serve them and enrich the world. That's our intention. We want to be active participants in life. We don't want a life of ease. One, it doesn't exist, and the pursuit of it is really a deadly exercise. Because generally these people broken and angry, very frustrated and damaged by trying to figure out how to create something where there's no more stress, no more pain, no more frustration. A very challenging exercise. So this is fun for me to be able to share with you what I've learned over these years, and as the book will share with you, and very vulnerably, the moments when these principles were learned. Many of them from Og's teachings, many of them miraculously, some in dreams. These are important pieces to help us prepare for and execute on life. This isn't a sales training course. This is a life course. These are the foundational principles that we'll want to master. We start with connection with people, and then we learn how to mentally create. We discover what is manifest when we're vividly visualizing, and how that can ignite our passion and take us to the third quality, physical creation, actually doing the work of creation in tangible reality, something we do not get to skip. It gets to be joyful. It gets to be passion-driven, vision-driven, mission-driven, but it doesn't get to be skipped. And unfortunately, we might have believed that it could be, and it can't be, and that creates all kinds of anxiety for us. Then we move into discipline and structure we talked about last week, and I took the time to read to you from the book, The Attic, and how these thought processes we have can just drive us crazy, the noise that's in our head. And now we're going to move to the topic of finding joy in the journey. And we discover that the very joy we seek is generally right behind the very things we're resisting and resenting and rebelling against. So you might want to look at those things differently. If I'm fighting this or I'm fighting that, or I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that, in fact, the very things we want, the very joy we seek, may be behind, directly behind those very things that we're resisting. This is a great thing to discover. Also, one of the great principles of success is that life is a journey. There is no destination. And when we're fantasizing, we want to go to destinations. When we want a life of ease, we want to go to a destination. We want to skip the journey, just have the destination. And there is no such place. Life is a continual journey. And if we're constantly fighting the journey, we are going to be miserable in our lives. Every time something shows up that's not very pleasant, it's going to be frustrating. This last Thursday, we had a windstorm here in the Bountiful area that was horrific. 70 mile an hour sustained winds, 102 mile an hour gusts. Ramona and I are getting ready to have some friends, some clients go with us up to the cabin for the weekend, and we get a text on Thursday that in one of the rental properties that a big, gigantic tree, I mean a big tree, this 50-foot pine tree that's in the neighbor's yard came crashing through the fence and has busted the railing and the steps coming downstairs and has filled the backyard up with this gigantic pine tree. Well, I can get as angry as I like, but anger's not going to remove the pine tree. It's not going to help. So you make the phone calls, you find out what the challenges are, and you do what's necessary. Fortunately, we had a crew available, and the crew came in on Saturday, cut it all up, removed it. There's an insurance adjuster coming on Thursday. The fence is all blown apart. We lost 3,000 trees, 3,000 trees in Bountiful. It was so bad that Sunday services in most of this area were suspended on Sunday, and people were sent home to help each other get the mess cleaned up because it was so monumental. I read an article today that said it would have taken the city 2 months 2 months to clean up what got cleaned up on Sunday. Neighbors helping neighbors, regardless of belief systems, socioeconomic backgrounds, everybody jumping in and helping each other and cleaning up these messes. 3,000 trees just in Bountiful. The next city north was declared a disaster area because it was hit even harder. We drove through there Friday downtown Bountiful where it was the worst, and it was just like a war zone. I mean, gigantic pine tree after gigantic pine tree sitting in yards, sitting in the road, sitting on top of a car, sitting on a crushed roof. Fortunately, no one was killed. No one was killed. That was a real gift. But what do? You just go down the checklist. This is what we do first. This is what we do second. This is what we do third. Does it mean that it's not urgent? Does it mean that we don't pay attention to it? Does it mean that every once in a while we don't get our feathers ruffled? Of course. Of course we are. We're human. But I can see some people, probably not around here, but I could imagine somebody 6 months from now is going out in their backyard and cursing the tree that's fallen. Let's have a good chuckle. Because it's not going to make the tree go away. The only thing that makes the tree go away is to take it on. I can tell you in the last 2 or 3 days, the reports are that there have been miracles happen in this city because of this disaster. Miracles. You know, mending of friendships or challenges in friendships. People receiving service, feeling valued that felt alone. Isn't that exciting to know that a disaster turns into something positive? Well, that's joy in the journey. Because the truth of the matter is there will be windstorms in our life. There will be storms big enough to take down big trees and crush our backyards, metaphorically speaking. Destroy our finances. Sometimes damage relationships. These things happen. It is part of life. And Og tells us to embrace these moments. Embrace them. Why? Because they're inevitable. This is life. This is the journey. There are potholes and there are barriers. And if every time we come to a pothole or a barrier, we just stop in our tracks and sit down and cry. The longer we sit and cry, the longer we stay stuck right where we are. Now, there are some things we want to mourn. There are some things that are really tragic. But most things are not. Most things aren't that kind of a thing. It's just our resistance to them. We just had our expectation of how we'd like life to be interrupted. First thing I heard from our insurance company is, oh, sure, we'll cover it, but you got a $1,000 deductible. And I'm going, I don't really want to pay $1,000 out of my pocket right now. And then I heard, well, the next door neighbor is telling us that it's not their fault, you know, that. And I went, okay, well, this will work out. This will work out. Before the weekend was over, it was all worked out. The next door neighbor was an old friend of ours, and of course she had her insurance agent out there and taking care of everything. And by the time Sunday came, everything was in its order. Everything was coming together. Is it pleasant? Is it fun? No. The tenant in that house was still out of electricity Saturday night. This happened on Thursday morning. Electricity goes out. Still Saturday night out of electricity. So what do you do? Ah, we have a generator in our garage. Let's have the crew come up, pick up the generator. Let's rewire their heater, and let's get the heater going in the house. So they have a heater, and they have hot water, which they have the hot water, but they're in the dark. They can use candles, but at least have heat in the house, because the house upstairs, as I understood, was getting close to, 40 degrees or something. It's getting very, very cold. These are just steps that you take. Now, Ramona would be the first one to say there are times when I get a little over the edge because I have a lot of stuff on my plate. There's no question. But this is joy in the journey. Joy in the journey is not only experiencing the fun times. It is how we handle the challenges. And of the two, probably the most important is how we handle the challenges. What do we do when we're faced with this burden or barrier? And we know from our study of agape love that there are three things. So you can write these down tonight. Number one, first question we ask is, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this challenge? We got thought processes that are going, you got to be kidding me. I don't like it. It ticks me off. It's ruined my weekend. Well, it is what it is. It is what it is. If we can learn something from this, there can be some benefit for having thought through the process. So that's one. Number two, people are watching. People are watching. How are we handling this? Agape love says that if we can handle it with courage and bravery, if we can handle it with a smile on our face, we can encourage everyone around us to handle their challenges the same way. We can actually lift and build others by the way in which we take on our challenges. And that can be joyful. This experience can create something magnificent for us. Lastly, and third, this experience can help us gain empathy. Empathy is not something we get to go buy at the store. It must be experienced. It is our experience, either our personal experience or close with somebody where we can actually feel and be in the middle of. That's how we begin to have empathy and intuition, that experience which, if we engrave it on our heart, can allow us to show up more sensitive to, listening differently, asking empathetic questions from our own experience. Gosh, I wonder if they're having this experience. Well, do you ever feel like this? Has this ever happened? Oh, yeah. Whew. We create a safe place. A person feels understood. Walls come down. And we get to have incredible conversations. These happen by the way in which we handle our challenges. Og said in Scroll 2 that the sun warms our bones, but the rain cleanses our soul. The light provides the way, the darkness shows us the stars. We endure the sadness. We take on the challenges. These are our obstacles. These are the things we're given in order to grow. We grow faster under fire than we do without pressure. The word is perturbation. Perturbation. You've heard the alchemists, you know, in the old days where they wanted to take coal and turn it into gold. Well, we know that coal can be turned into a diamond. If you put enough heat and pressure on those carbon fibers, it will form a diamond, an industrial diamond. Significant, very hard diamond, but it takes heat and pressure. So it is with us. These life experiences are our perturbation. They're what make us into diamonds. Let us not be resisting and resenting the very process through which we become priceless. So, we're going to face some sorrow. And as Gil Gibran says, I've got his book right here with me, The Prophet, which I quote in my book. And he talks about this. Just read to you just a couple of pages, a couple of phrases, not pages. Some of my favorites. It's on page 29. He says, the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oft-times filled with your tears. How else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. So our heart is hollowed out by the sorrow, can contain more. Is not the cup that holds your wine, the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And lastly, and is not the lute, that little musical instrument, that soothes your spirit, the very wood that was hollowed with knives? And it's true. Let us not be in so much resistance that we miss the opportunity to learn the lesson. I don't know that we're always given challenge to learn lessons, but if we choose to learn them when we're in those moments, we grow. When we choose to show up and inspire others to do likewise, we grow. When we engrave these experiences on our heart and show up in the service of another person, we grow. And interestingly, those things which used to seem like mountains are now like bumps in the road, little bumps. Our capacity to handle complex issues actually improves as we learn to take them on. That which used to cause us to stumble and fall is no more than a pebble in the road. And we have greater and greater opportunities for greater and greater growth. And here's the secret. Abundance is given to us in direct proportion to our ability to handle it. You want great wealth? Boy, you're going to want to really focus on becoming a magnificent human being. You're going to take these challenges on and truly, in all three ways, learn the lesson, be the example, grave it on your heart. Take these challenges on, because that's how you'll become the person, through your service, who will have the greatest wealth. That's just a principle. So that's our first hurdle. Enjoying the journey is probably one of the most significant, since we're all going to experience it. Another one is that in our daily walk, many of us have a job, a W-2 kind of employment where we go and we do something, or even a career, such as being a physician or an attorney. And we've lost our passion for it. And we find ourselves spinning our wheels and just going through the motions. And it's not unusual in this kind of an economy for us to start looking for greener grass. That's not a place with a bigger house and a nicer lawn. It's like, I'm going to quit and go join the whatever. I'm just going to sell everything and go zone out somewhere. That's the greener grass. It's the stopping the growth. It's the stopping the battle. Just wanting it to go someplace where there aren't any problems. And the tragedy is that people make that decision. They discover it wasn't as bad as they imagined. And when they get there, they take all of their thought processes with them. And so what was showing up here shows up there. And pretty soon, they don't like that either. If we're looking for meaning and purpose in our life, this is part of our joy in the journey, is falling back in love with what we do. You see, it's not as important what we do as it is how we do it. The greatest joy comes when we're serving others, when we're practicing intrinsic validation, stepping into their world and listening and creating a safe place, something that can be done almost anywhere. So it's not as important where we are as it is how we show up where we are. I would highly recommend that everyone on this phone fall back in love with what you're currently doing. I think you'll find some relief if you've been wondering and searching. I know I'm meant for something bigger, more important. Probably so. You're meant to show up in the service of other people, one person at a time. Don't get so grandiose in the plans we miss the mark. The mark is showing up alive, engaged, and connecting, and serving, and creating value. And we can do that almost anywhere. But if this isn't the place, you don't want to leave this and take all of that baggage with you to another place. Fall in love with the place where you are. You know, the old story of the person who comes to the gates of Jerusalem and asks the person, what kind of a city is this? Well, what was your last city like? And the person says, oh, it was magnificent. I loved the people. It was just a great community. And the man says, it's just like that here. Oh, that's so good to hear. Man walks in. Next one walks up. What's it like in this city? Well, what was it like in the last city you were at? Oh, the people were selfish and they were rude and they weren't accepting and they're judgmental. What are the people like here? And he says, they're the same way. In other words, we create our own environment most of the time. we create our own. Let us fall back in love with where we are and show up tomorrow morning giving all we've got, bringing our genius to the table, stepping into people's worlds, avoiding procrastination, being genuine and authentic in all that we do. Some people in some work environments might say, what are you doing? You're showing us all up. But don't worry about those people. You're showing up for you, not for your boss. You're showing up for you. Because every time we try to hold ourselves back, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to start with. We are robbing ourselves of being with our true self. We're putting a sham over us, shame over us. Shameful to be a high achiever. Shameful to be a hard worker. Be the hard worker. Be the person who's dedicated, who comes a few minutes early and maybe stays a few minutes late, who really takes on a task and gives it his very best. It doesn't matter what you get paid. Now, of course it does. You've got bills to pay and expenses. You got all those things. Yes, we all do. There's no question. But the single most important thing that comes from doing a job well done is how you feel about yourself when you do it. That's the most important thing. And it's been my experience that rarely is it missed by those who matter most. You will be seen without trying to be obvious. Just stop trying to impress or pretend or shame or fear and just show up and have a great time. This is another great source of joy. We've talked about two of the most common obstacles we're going to bump into because we're going to hit one. And some people get one almost every day. It's just the way life shows up. Two, we're going to want to fall in love with what we're doing for a living. Whatever it is, just fall back in love with it by serving the people and creating the best and feeling good about yourself, knowing when you go home at night, you've done the very best you can do. And know that when you do, you go home energized. It actually takes more energy to hold back and play small than it does to jump all in. You have a small business or a home-based business you'd like to build on the side? Do you want to hold back all day and exhaust yourself and come home angry, frustrated, and you sit down in the easy chair, turn on television, I'm going to watch it just for a few minutes, and about 2 hours in, you have convinced yourself that tomorrow night, you'll work hard, but you just need to rest tonight. Well, when tomorrow night comes, it's still today. It's always today. It's always going to be today. And we keep coming home in that space, we will keep going to the easy chair. That's what happens. But if we choose to give it all day long, we will come home energized, feeling so good about ourselves. We want to just plow into the next thing. And now we can spend an hour or two in an evening and truly begin to build a business. Build it. Not dream about it. Not fantasize about it. Not play like it. Not try to fund it with a credit card. But actually have a business that's generating real money and real profit. How exciting would that be? That's joy in the journey. Now there's another joy. This is one that goes deeply personal. This is a challenge for most of us. Who isn't living in a continual comparison game? I'm putting this in the last chapter of the book. I'm inserting it in the next 2 days. The continual comparison game. When we're holding our clay, our focus is not creating the most with what we have. It's comparing what we have against everybody else's clay. I like her hair. I like his abs. I like his house. I like her car. It's like, I wish I had their clay. I wish I had their clay. And we can spend a lifetime wishing we had somebody else's clay, and there is no joy that can be found in that process. None. One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself in terms of joy is accepting your clay. And as if you're holding your clay like I am, I'm holding it like a loaf of bread for those of you on the phone, I'm holding both my hands. If we're looking at our clay and we're feeling disappointed. This should be a wake-up call. This should be a wake-up call. Because we have created expectations that are unrealistic. We have judged our clay to be faulty and inadequate. What a tragedy. This is our clay. We're not honoring the gift. We're saying, this gift isn't what I wanted. It's getting up on a Christmas morning and having a parent who gave you all they could afford to buy and have a say, I don't like that color. Let us take our clay. Because the perception that it's not enough only comes from our activities in comparison. Everybody got that? The only reason why this might seem less than, inadequate, insufficient, comes from our comparison of this against that. First of all, what we're seeing probably isn't right to begin with. It's not accurate. But let us start looking here and looking for our greatest strengths, our greatest gifts. And we're going to find some challenges in here, sure. And let this become our mission. Starting tonight, I'm going to own my clay. Then I'm going to take this. And I'm going to create the most I can with it. That's joy in the journey. Because I'm connected to me. I'm owning me. I'm choosing me. I don't get any other choice anyway. But by resisting this choice, I'm in confusion about who I am and what I have. When I choose me, I choose this. And I decide to create the most I can with it. And I've shared this before. It's a true principle. You'll be endowed with more clay when you fully maximize all that you have. And more is needed for you to fulfill your mission. You'll be endowed with more clay. This is a great thing to know. You'll get more. Oh, my goodness. Now we take this clay. And we begin to create the most we can with it. At the end of the day, we express gratitude. We've honored the gift and the giver of the gift. We go to sleep like a baby. We hand off the baton. I'll be back in the morning. I'll open my eyes. I will take this clay and I'll go back to work with it. In the morning, take back the baton, pick up the clay, and we go back to work. And we create the most we can with the clay we've been given. It is very interesting. Every time in my life when I have wished things were different, all I did was frustrate the process. Oh, I could use some extra funds to do this. If I just had someone who wanted to invest in something, wouldn't that be great? And all of a sudden you say, no, I own this company. I don't have, other than three people involved, there are three board members and me. Do I really want to dilute that? To have a moment of ease? What would happen if I said, here's the clay I've been given. What are my options? And all of a sudden you can get an inspired idea for how to address the need with the clay. You'll be surprised what can be created with your clay if you choose it and begin to create with it. And you'll stop a great deal of frustration in the joy, or loss of joy in the journey. Well, we got one more place to go. I love this conversation every time we come to it. And I'm always really seeking some inspired ideas as I share it. Because it's become such a valuable part of my life. Such a tender part. And the concern is that I don't want to say, here I am, watch this. This has everything to do with the companion that I chose, Ramona. Is one of the greatest sources of joy in this journey, this sojourn on this earth, is with a partner. Some of us are in relationships, but we're not in partnerships. I read a story this morning about a couple here in Bountiful that they lost their electricity in the windstorm. They had a generator out in the shed, which shed was attached to the side of their house. No windows, solid wall. Opened the door, turned on the generator for good ventilation, and were running their refrigerator and their freezer so they didn't lose all the contents. And they woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they knew they were in trouble. They could hardly lift their heads off the pillows. And the husband slid off the bed to the floor, helped pull his wife off the bed to the floor, and half drug her. She didn't have the strength to crawl. They were both suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning. They discovered later that somehow the exhaust from that generator had permeated the wall. Their bedroom was on the other side of the house and a level up, and it still had permeated, got into circulation, and was poisoning them. They were nigh unto death. It was termed a miracle. They were thanking God for being awakened in the night, but that's just the beginning of the miracle. He half-drugged his wife, just coaxing it, strength beyond his own. A reserve from which a person only pulls when they have that level of love for someone. I could feel it in the way he was telling the story. This was his sweetheart. This was his companion. And he was pulling her. Everything he could do to encourage her and to find the strength himself. And they finally got to the front door, opened the front door, and just put their heads out. It's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and a runner goes by, a runner, who runs regularly, but this was the first time she'd ever gone this route. Not only was she on a route that she'd never been on before, she was inspired to turn and look at that front door and saw those two heads sticking out of the door. There's no power in this neighborhood. There's no lights. But she saw them. Soon, emergency vehicles were called. They were taken to the hospital and were released later that afternoon. You know, a severe headache. And miraculously surviving. Well, you think about life, because sometimes life has there's an equivalent, if you will, to carbon monoxide poisoning. It can be a financial trauma that just fills the air with poison. And it takes something really precious to sometimes drag ourselves to the front door for fresh air. And that something only comes when there's that level of absolute commitment in a relationship. Some of you may be struggling with forms of poison in your marriage, innuendo, the need to be right, the sarcasm that really isn't funny. And I believe a companion can be a tremendous influence on another companion by the way they show up. Now, all bets are off if you're in an abusive relationship. All bets are off. I don't want you to take anything from this and suggest I need to endure an abusive relationship in hopes that I can change an abuser. That is not true. If you're in that situation, I want you to get some help immediately. Law enforcement, a clergyman, medical assistant, someone who can guide you, a therapist, who can give you legal and therapeutic advice. I'm a coach. You're in a relationship where there's some challenges that can be worked through. If you're in a relationship where it's good, but it needs to grow. If you're in a partnership and it's ready to flourish, I want to share with you just a couple things that might help. Number one, to all the guys out there, and increasingly for the women, it's called commitment. Commitment means no more back doors, trap doors, screen doors, safety nets. It is the conscious moment when a companion looks at their other companion and says, this is the one. Now, there's going to be thought processes that might be saying, yes, I'm not sure. It will never be a partnership till this commitment is made. No two people are ever perfect, but they can have a perfect partnership when both of them make 100% commitment. All of my attention, my emotions, my passion, my sexual energy, all of it is going to be focused on this one person right here. Regardless of what happens to us, no matter how we look as we get older, thank goodness for me, that we are going to give 100% to them and they're going to give 100% back to us. Now, I see a real challenge with this one. Sounds simple. But I would ask you to examine a few things. And that would be where you go on the internet and where you go when you're watching television or movies. This isn't a moralistic discussion. It's just as any message that would distract your eyes or attention from that one you love the most. I was doing some coaching this morning with a young single woman. She said it's alarming how many married men have been getting on the internet and having conversations. She had to terminate them. It's very embarrassing. It's like, I know your wife. What are you doing? What are you doing? Sending out those little hooks to see, just flirting a little bit. Why would we ever do that? What would happen if we let go of all of those crazy manly kind of things? They say manly. It's not really manly. It's a fifth grader. Let's let that stuff go. If I sound harsh, because I've seen the damage that happens in the lives of children and spouses, and companions, when we pursue those things to the end. It is so destructive. The damage so life-lasting for everyone. Let's make a decision, right? In our joy in the journey, we're going to take on the obstacles. We're going to fall back in love with what we're doing. We're going to own our clay and create the most we can with it. Now let's make 100% commitment to our companion, 100%. It's not well until that person does. Let us make it. Let us live that way. Let us inspire them to be better. And let us in our own lives do things that are congruent with that commitment. Because the beautiful thing that happens when there is commitment is that it fosters trust. And trust is critical in a relationship. To trust someone's decisions financially, morally, to trust someone that they really will be there to provide or to support or to console. And with that comes commitment, comes a tenderness, a sensitivity. And that trust abounds. Trust, Stephen M. R. Covey says, is based on our intention, which would be absolute commitment, integrity, ability, and results. Are our intentions pure? Is our integrity above reproach? Is our ability to provide and to be a partner and do our piece? Is there places we need to work on? And for what's our result? What's the result? That's what builds trust. And when trust is present, the third element comes into play, and it's called intimacy. Intimacy is the gift two companions give to one another freely. When commitment and trust is present, it's not just a physical sporting event. It's a sacrament. Oh, it's playful. It can be fun. It can be sexual. It can just be tender. Men, foreplay begins when you wake up in the morning, not at 10 o'clock at night when everybody's getting ready to go to bed. We want to be able to start showing up differently. oh, we can be the tough guy on the golf course, or we can, you know, run our marathons, whatever it might be, and I'm not suggesting that's only a man thing. But we can play the man role and be the whatever. But when we're with our spouse, our companion, let us be tender. Let us be gentle. Let us open doors for our queens. Let's ask them to wait for a moment where you can come and serve them. Let us open the doors for them as they're walking into buildings. Let us walk by their side, take hold of their hand, put a gentle hand on their back. Let us throughout the day find things that they do for us and notice them. Great gift. Let us listen without needing to fix. We want to fix everybody. We got all the answers. All you got to do is blah, 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 blah. That's not why they're asking us. That's not why they're talking to us. We want to become men, the safe place for our spouses, so they don't need to go outside of this relationship to find commiseration with another person. If it was with a girlfriend, you're going to be the topic. If it's another man, if not a physical, emotional affair, let us not be the one who drives the woman to that space. Let us be the one who shows up tender and listening. We've heard it said before, and it's well said. Let us be our own best friends. Best friends. Commitment, trust, intimacy. These are the gifts. May we find the courage to do so. I share with you the blessing. It is glorious to have a companion for whom you love with all your heart. This is Joy in the Journey. Will firestorms come and go? Yes. Will trees get blown down? Yes. The windstorms will come. Will teenagers wreck your cars? Oh, yeah. Promise. But in every one, there'll be a lesson. And quite often, retrospectively, the greatest lessons. As I was writing this book and reflecting on our experience, the 10 years paying back $1 million in debt, grueling time, much of it, I look at the blessings that came out of that. I would not take it back. I would not wish it was different. Not excited about doing something like that ever again. But retrospectively, it was a gift. An absolute gift. I learned more about me and about people during that 10 years than I could in a lifetime. So let us take on life. All of it. The challenges, the joy. Knowing the joy we experience will be in direct relationship to the sorrow we've experienced. Okay? Well, this week, I want you to study scroll number 3. Scroll number 3, I'll persist until I succeed. Young bulls are tested in the fight arena in a certain manner. Each is allowed to attack a picador, pricks them with a lance. And the bravery of each bull is determined by his willingness to charge in spite of the sting of the blade. And so am I tested by life in like manner. If I charge, if I keep trying, if I keep doing this, I will succeed. Small tasks are accomplished one step at a time. We can all take one step at a time. This despair should overcome us. We'll work on in despair. We'll work and we'll toil. We'll keep our eyes on the goal above our head and ignore those obstacles at our feet because we know where dry desert ends, green grass grows. We'll do one more thing at the end of every day. We're not waiting for the clock to hit 5 so we can be in the parking lot. We're going, oh my goodness, I've only got 10 minutes left. What could I do that would be meaningful before I leave this day? If it takes me an extra 5 minutes, so what? This isn't about your employer. This is about you. Being all you can be. And knowing if you can be it here, you can be it anywhere. So let us take on our life. This is scroll number 3. I'll persist until I succeed. And next week, please come back. We're going to take on self-esteem. I've been working on some material for this, for the book. It's the last chapter, self-esteem. Some new things to share with you next week. I'm excited to have that opportunity. So have a glorious week. Take on life. This is not to be, we don't be discouraged by this, because we're going to face these things anyway. It's for us to be triumphant in our challenges. That's what we can do if we make the decision tonight. May we do so. And may you have a great and productive week.